daily for halfway day. And for a lot of us, it's a very special halfway day. And for those of you that it's special for, you could have taken me with you. I fit in a suitcase. I fit in a trunk even. I'm very adaptable. Hi, welcome to the 28th of August. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And today, I absolutely do mean we. That's right. The folks bringing it to you today, that's with an S. The man that knows how to troubleshoot. That there's podcasting for its secret.
We did it, and you know it.
That's not how I would have phrased that, sir. Hi. I'm the guy that's ready to make stuff happen. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Bring me my pendulum, kiddies. I feel like swinging.
So let's get down to it. What happened this fine day, sir?
Yes, Vincent Price swinging. That's what I want. Who wants to know the price of my pen?
In 1789, Sir William Herschel discovers Saturn's moon, enchiladas.
1830, the Tom Thumb, the first locomotive built in America, goes into service running between Baltimore and Ellicott's Mill. It's the first railway service in the United States, hence being the first one built in America.
1845, the first issue of Scientific American is published by Rufus Porter, a schoolmaster, inventor, and editor.
1859, a geomagnetic storm that causes the Aurora Borealis to shine so brightly it's seen clearly over parts of the USA, Europe, and even Japan.
Just makes you want to have a cheeseburger. In 1883, the first controlled flight in a glider is made by John G. Montgomery at Wheeler Hill, California. He sails a distance of 603 feet at an altitude of about 15 feet.
We'll see, we call them steamed hams. 1884, the first known photograph of a tornado is taken near Howard, South Dakota.
1898, Caleb Bradham renames his carbonated soft drink Pepsi Cola.
Should name it malted battery acid. 1922, station WEAF New York broadcast a 10-minute advertisement promoting a group of apartment buildings in Queens for Queensboro Realty Company. It cost that company $100. It is the first radio commercial in history, beginning what will later be known as toll broadcasting.
They really could not have called themselves the Weef. You're listening to the Weef. They're just in Queens. That seems problematic. In 1933, police use a broadcast appeal to track down a wanted man for the first time in history. The broadcast goes out over the BBC.
1940, CBS gives a public demonstration of a field sequential color television system, which was devised by Dr. Peter Goldmark using Kodachrome films and slides. The scanning rates 20 frames per second and uses three primary colors, red, green, and blue.
Ooh. 1993, the NASA spacecraft Galileo takes the first photograph of an asteroid with its own moon. Damn, Galileo, you nasty.
2006, Time magazine features a picture of Disney's Dopey and Doc, characters from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and the article inside reveals that a recent survey shows 77% of Americans polled could name two of the Seven Dwarfs, far higher than the number who could name two judges on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, I'm glad that's changed. In 2008, author Stephanie Meyer announces on her website that she has stopped working on Midnight Sun, which was intended to be the fourth book in the popular Twilight series, due to the illegal leak of 12 chapters to an unfinished manuscript onto torrent sites. Wasn't that the same thing that happened to the rest of the Twilight books? Were any of them finished?
It's about time the internet did something good. Also that same day, same year, YouTube adds closed caption support to its videos. That's right, your kitten videos are closed captioned. Birthdays?
The very handsome and delightful sounding Armie Hammer is 33. He was Morgan in Reaper. Oh my God, that's right. I totally forgot about it. Social Network, The Lone Ranger, Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's been in a whole bunch of stuff. Man, I like his voice.
Carly Pope is 39 from Elysium and Adaro.
Jason Priestley is 50 years old, still looks fantastic, from 90210, Cold-Blooded, True Calling, and Call Me Fitz.
Everyone go find Cold-Blooded. It's the best movie you've never seen it that he is in. Jack Black is also 50 years of age, which is weird to think of them as toddlers, from Bob Roberts, Demolition Man, Mars Attacks, High Fidelity, Kung Fu Panda, and of course, Tenacious D.
Tenacious babies. Billy Boyd is 51. He's a year older than Jack Black and Jason Priestley. Pip in Lord of the Rings, Master and Commander, Seed of Chucky.
David Fincher is 57, the director of technically Alien 3. Seven, The Game, Zodiac, World War Z. Yeah, I left out Fight Club. There's a reason.
Jennifer Coolidge, 58 years old. Stifler's mom, Lazy Susan in Gravity Falls. She's one of the Christopher Guest players. Man, she has been in a lot of stuff. Really funny lady. And I think it was also in Two Broke Girls and stuff like that.
Brian Thompson is 60 from Cobra, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and of course was the alien bounty hunter in X-Files.
I remember 62 years ago, I was born. Hi, guys, it's Daniel Stern here.
I can't really do an impression of him, but this is exactly what he sounded like in Chud, Frankenweenie, Home Alone, City Slickers, Dilbert, narrator of Wonder Years, and if you don't believe me, fight me. I know the other wet bandits.
David Soul is 76 from Starsky and Hutch, and the superior version of Salem's Lot.
Born this day no longer with us, 1917, we've got Jack Kirby. He co-created Marvel's Fantastic Four, the X-Men, and the Hulk, created DC's New Gods and Fourth World Saga, and of course did the cover art of Captain America punching Hitler.
Always punch Hitler and any Nazi you can find. 1921, Nancy Culp, that's Miss Hathaway on the Beverly Hillbillies, and yeah, she liked herself some Jethro.
On CBS, actually just heard all about that on the Dearly Departed podcast. It's a fantastic show. On CBS, we've got the new Big Brother rerun of SEAL Team and another rerun of SEAL Team.
ABC's got your reruns, Goldberg's, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and Celebrity Family Feud. I already know the answers.
NBC has new live results, too, of America's Got Talent, Songland, and Hollywood Game Night.
On Fox, it's a new MasterChef, and the cast attempts to rewrite the script until storyline arguments ensue, and Shannon rethinks joining the reboot of BH90210.
CW has Pike and Bishop investigating an organ harvesting ring on a new Bulletproof and Hypnotize Me.
AMC tonight has Jaws and Jaws 2, Electric Boogaloo.
FX Andre receives help from an unexpected source on Snowfall.
Oh, I wanted you to sing it. Speaking of seeing, that's what FXX is showing. Huh? See what we did there?
I should have read ahead. FXM has Rough Night.
IFC, it's July 8th, 1995 on a new Sherman Showcase.
I keep hoping that's somehow a weird Herman's Head thing, but I know it's not.
Not quite.
BBC America has Bourne Ultimatum.
Paramount, the feud with the Becks reaches a boiling point as the Duttons desperately attempt to save one of their own on a new Yellowstone.
We can only imagine they're fighting over two turntables and a microphone. Sci-Fi has Red and Red 2.
TNT, Run All Night, which apparently is an adaptation of the Cyndi Lauper / Celine Dion songs.
USA, a special look back at previous events on USA's Suits is provided. Then, a new Suits, if you believe a clip show is new.
Yeah, how do you show a clip show? Whatever. Tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel, because when a country girl is eager to finish her dissertation and find romance, her dreams of adventure are satisfied after she receives the unexpected news her father's inherited a large estate and a royal title in a faraway kingdom. Cindy nice. Busby, Andrew Cooper, and James Brolin star in Royal Hearts.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Victor finds Chad with the Seminites, but before Chad is strong enough to leave, Victor must take the opportunity to find a friend who has started a vendetta against an Indian tribe. But you ain't V unless you consider yourself a visitor. Chad has taken a liking to the lifestyle of the Seminites and especially taken to the young and beautiful Abby who has looked after him. Though she calls him Calvin, he thinks maybe he should stay. Maybe make them a tower, build them some hanging gardens, teach them this David Gray song he likes so much, # Chabby, forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
But of course we do. Hi yet again, geeks. Yes, I'm not the only one who noticed a beetle more accomplished than Herbie. That's right, see, it's green. It's fantastic. And I have Mouse in slipcase, if not hardcover. It's been years since I read it, but I still say, this dog face is standing up for the cats. We serve the Constitution. And the orange skull, only as long as he serves it, that's from Bill. Well, Bill, he stopped serving it about 5 minutes after. If you've got something you'd like to say to us or give yourself a guess as to where Chad and Abby are, by all means, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD. Crew.
Even I've never heard of this week's show.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hey, it's Rock Lofton, all you nerds out there. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah. You can call us nerds. That's fine. We'll still eat at your restaurant. We're cool like that, yo. Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
And if you don't know why, Ask the Frog Brothers. What's out today, sir?
From Detective Comics, we've got Dial H for Hero. Halfway through its run of 612, Flash 77, Martian Manhunter 8 of 12, and Up in the Sky, in the Dark of the Night. Trust no one, for the Secret Six walk among us. The Dark Knight and the Man of Steel must journey into the depths of Gotham City to learn which of their fellow heroes has been transformed into the horrifying horsemen of their most dangerous and deranged foe ever. Our heroes will need to fight to survive, but an even more dangerous question lurks in the shadows. Can Superman and Batman even trust each other in Batman Superman, number one?
Over at Marvel, it's Absolute Carnage, number 2 of 5, House of X, 3 of 6, Fantastic Four, Yancey Street, number 1, and there is a mystery that threads throughout the Marvel Universe, one that has its origins in Marvel Comics number 1, which unites a disparate array of heroes and villains throughout the decades. What is the Eternity Mask? Who is responsible for the conspiracy to keep it hidden? And what new player will make their startling debut as these secrets are peeled away? Featuring the entirety of the Marvel Universe of characters, it's Marvel Comics 1000.
Obviously featuring all 1000 characters. Dynamite Entertainment has Death Defying Devil, number 1. Red Sonja and Vampirella meet Betty and Veronica, 4 of 12. Oh, it's only one third of the way through. Boom Studios, Lumberjanes, 65. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, 42. Steven Universe, 31. And journey back in time and witness the stories of some of the slayers from all around the globe. Watch the birth of the Sunnydale Hellmouth, an event that will lead to repercussions across the globe and into the present day. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Chosen Ones, number 1.
To today, when it's been closed for years, Archie Comics, it's Archie versus Predator Do, number 2, and Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica, number 4. Over at IDW Publishing, Mountainhead kicks off 5, Star Pig, 2 of 4, Star Trek Year 5, number 5, but then all Donald Duck wants to do is take a nice, long, uninterrupted nap, but there's too many distractions and too much noise at McDuck Manor for him to do so, but then Donald remembers a magical artifact that cancels out all noise. They have headphones for that. Once he uses it, he can finally take a nap. One problem, though. It's not silent in McDuck Manor. It's silent all over the world. Will anyone ever be able to talk again? Find out in DuckTales, Silence and Science, number 1.
From Lion Forge, we have At the End of Your Tether, wrapping it up with 3 of 3. Rolled and Told, number 12. From Dark Horse, we've got Fight Club 3, number 8. Manor Black, 2 of 4. Stranger Things 6, number 4 of 4. And Elliot Ness and his team of Untouchables work overtime taking on dangerous criminals that hide in the seedy underbelly of 1930s Chicago. Except in this world, Al Capone isn't dealing in alcohol, but magic. With Lick, a drug that grants magical powers to anyone who ingests it, mobsters become wizards. Ordinary men become monsters, and darker secrets than Ness can imagine lie at the heart of it all. In Tommy Gun Wizards, number 1. Yeah. Damn, that's a good title.
Billy Bob Batting should be in that. From Oni Press, Invader Zim, number 46, Rick and Morty, number 53. Over at Image Comics, it's Black Science, 42, and Ice Cream Man, number 1. Over at Valiant, you got Killers, 2 of 5, and how do you solve the case of your own death? Paranormal expert Dr. Shanfeng Mirage was born with the ability to see and speak to the dead, an ability that has mysteriously stopped working. Have her powers failed, or is something far more sinister at work? Will she figure out her fate and the fate of the one she loves the most? Find out in this gripping supernatural mystery of Dr. Mirage, 1 of 5.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Spider-Man's fate in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is in serious doubt thanks to a contractual spat between Marvel and Sony, but that doesn't mean we've seen the last of the web-slinger under the Marvel banner. A new Spider-Man animated series, Marvel's Spidey and His Amazing Friends, is headed to Disney Jr. in 2021.
I've waited decades for the return of Ms. Lion.
In case you've been in a coma or something and missed the constant barrage of stories about Sony, Marvel, and Spider-Man,
in between updates about the chicken sandwich wars,
Sony and Marvel Studios have decided to go their separate ways when it comes to Spidey. This leaves the future of Tom Holland's Spider-Man in doubt in the MCU, but don't be surprised if things change yet again.
I don't want him to go.
Till then, a new Spider-Man animated series is back, and it's on Disney Jr. and not Disney Plus.
Oh, there's no room, what with all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff.
Spidey and His Amazing Friends has a Peter Parker used to working solo, but has to discover what it takes to become a truly amazing superhero, being a super friend who works well with others. Together with his friends Miles Morales and Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, they will team up with heroes such as Hulk, Black Panther, Ms. Marvel, to defeat evil foes and learn that teamwork is the best way to save the day.
But is Video Man coming back?
If we're lucky. Disney Junior means this is aimed at younger audiences because preschoolers love the web-slinging antics, and we tell you this because while it will be fun, sadly it means that one of the best superhero crossovers ever will not be replicated. There will not be a Seven Little Superheroes episode. Oh, but thanks to tech advancements, Aunt May can have friends over because no one's going to see all the damn computers on the ceiling.
You know, kids today, the loud music and your Dan Fogelberg and your Zima and Pac-Man video games. Oh, and your dang CGI.
Okay, look, seriously, every movie feels like cartoons are fighting other cartoons. A computer can often make a monster or the aforementioned web slinger appear on screen, but with varying levels of quality. Now look, in our day, we had practical effects which made things seem more real.
Oh yeah, like the absolutely lifelike Howard the Duck or Baby Secret of the Lost Legend or all of Superman 4.
Now none of those were done by the great Ray Harryhausen, the man most synonymous with stop motion animation. Harryhausen's contributions to films like It Came From Beneath the Sea, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Jason and the Argonauts, and Clash of the Titans immortalized him as a legend. His work paid tribute by everyone from Chuck Russell and Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors, to Sam Raimi and Army of Darkness. Next year, the Scottish National Gallery of Modern Art pays tribute to the stop-motion master with Ray Harryhausen, Titan of Cinema.
Mac and Me would have been a totally different film with Harryhausen. There would have at least have been something lifelike in that movie then.
You're so catty. It will be the largest and widest-ranging exhibition of Harryhausen's work ever seen, including materials both previously unseen and newly restored. Classic creatures from the Harryhausen vault that have been restored include Medusa from Clash of the Titans, Skeletons from Jason and the Argonauts, the Kraken from Clash of the Titans, Allosaurus from 1 Million Years BC, Minotaur from Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger.
Whoa, 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 not the sequel Sinbad and the Thrill of the Fight?
Vanessa Harryhausen, Ray's daughter, said, "Our plans to celebrate Dad's centenary at the National Galleries in Edinburgh are so exciting. If he was still around, he would be so enthused by all of our plans for 2020. It's wonderful that we were able to display so much of Dad's collection. The space at the galleries gives us great scope to display as many of his models and artworks as possible, as well as personal items which have never been exhibited before, such as his equipment and tools. The exhibit will kick off on May 23rd, 2020. Hey, Hollywood CGI peeps, go there. Learn how these effects have weight and feel more real than your lazy CGI. Because the next time James Bond surfs with icebergs, I want to believe it, man.
You heard me rave. You might have saw the pics that my kids swore broke the terms of service for using the beta, but the mobile version of Mario Kart is finally going to be released as a full game September 25th.
Will you and hundreds of others still be the number one players in the world?
Never understood that damn leaderboard. I am now pre-registered for the new version, which I should have automatically been as a beta user. But the mobile installment of Nintendo's incredibly popular kart racing franchise, originally announced last year, had a planned launch of March of this year, and that was updated to sometime during the summer in order to, quote, improve the quality of the application and expand the content offerings after launch.
And to get that Luigi death stare just right.
You gotta get it. September 25th is actually technically after the end of summer. The last day is September 23rd, but it is pretty close. Nintendo also released Dr. Mario World earlier this year, so it's been a busy year for the company in terms of launching mobile adaptations of its popular franchises.
Wait till they combine them. We were somewhere on Rainbow Road when the viruses kicked in.
Now, they're not saying a price, just that whole free-to-start nonsense, and since this game has a rather expansive roster, that could get more than a little expensive.
Victoria Police announced that six Australians have been arrested in connection with an investigation into rigging Counter-Strike Global Offensive matches, the first major case of its kind in Australia.
Wait, so this has been a major case in other places?
Yeah, an investigation began in March this year after a betting agency tipped off police about suspicious activity around a CSGO tournament. It's alleged that players were arranging to throw matches and subsequently placing bets on those matches, Victoria Police said in a release.
I can't prove it, but I'm positive Wario is behind this.
At least five matches were affected by the activity, with warrants served and four men arrested on Wednesday. Another warrant was executed by Western Australia Police in Perth, but no arrests were made there. Two more warrants were executed in Mount Eliza, resulting in two more arrests.
When you outlaw games, only outlaws will have games?
That's racist against Australians. Neil Patterson, Assistant Commissioner of Victoria Police, said the investigation was the first of its kind by the state. Esports is really an emerging sporting industry, and with that will come the demand for betting availability on the outcomes of tournaments and matches, he said.
It's a damn shame CSI Cyber didn't last. This would have been perfect for them.
All men arrested have been released pending further inquiries. Authorities added that detectives from the Organized Crime Intelligence Unit, who assisted the Sporting Integrity Intelligence Unit, are continuing the investigation and working with Sportsbet and other betting outlets.
Breaking news, Pete Rose has just been announced for MLB 20.
And with any luck, this story will be part of the plot for the Scott Pilgrim sequel as he takes down the video game mob and the 322Xs.
The world will soon be a better place as we celebrate the return of some of the most hard-hitting investigative journalism to ever grace the planet.
Is Barbara Walters doing another special?
No, but on September 16th, just as Nostradamus predicted, Weekly World News will return.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Just what I always wanted. The Weekly World News was started in 1979 by Generoso P. Pope Jr., then the publisher of the National Enquirer. It distinguished itself from its sister tabloid with its deadpan articles on the bazaar. While the Enquirer might print rumors of a politician's affair, Weekly World News would print rumors of a politician's affair with an alien.
You know, it's only a rumor because E.T. doesn't probe and tell.
It specialized in subjects scientific, religious, and political. Some of the more memorable covers have included Bigfoot kept Lumberjack as love slave, Hillary Clinton adopts alien baby, Dick Cheney is a robot, and several stories about a love affair between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, including their adoption of a shaved ape child.
You know, I really like the story of Debbie Gibson being pregnant with the two-headed love child of Mojo Nixon.
After 12 long years, we finally will learn what Elvis has been up to all this time, why the MIB movies are really documentaries, and why you never put Batboy in a corner. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. I love that dude had already had, like, a rag paper. It was like, you know what? This one just isn't stupid enough. I need to make another one. And it's coming back. Woo! You know, if you'd like to celebrate that, tell us, what were some of your favorite, most outstanding Weekly World News stories of all time? Drop a note and let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could tell us in a voicemail and read it in your best announcer voice. Just dial the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
And we'll talk all about that the next time we do this.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
Good times.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Good night, suckers!
Damage averted. All systems operative.
We were secretly married out in Las Vegas. Had a little bit of time. Ashley is a pain in the waist. Match my butt, his face. His teeny tiny 2 inches of terror. Man, they all gonna scare ya. Every cockamamie knuckleheaded digital loot. No truth to the rumor. My spud and damage. Oh, they went to the motel just to watch a little TV. Ain't that dog? Gibson is pregnant in a two-headed love child. He's a Bigfoot baby, all covered in a fur now. Stark Raven naked in the fornication nation. I'm Stark Raven naked in the fornication nation. Stark Raven naked in the fornication nation.